This is Brandon Kelly, the host of Blue Wire's new podcast, Golden Goal.
Messi takes everybody on. Messi has got it!
From Lionel Messi to Marta to Pele, our show takes a deep dive into soccer superstars.
2-0, and he's... What a World Cup for Megan Rapinoe!
From Zlatan Ibrahimovic's brash confidence with the play to back it up, to Megan Rapinoe's heroic outspokenness and World Cup flair. Each episode examines a personality of the world's game. We'll dig into Maradona's Hand of God performance and subsequent downfall, the teenage trio at Dortmund that signaled the next generation of superstars, and that infamous headbutt that slung Zinedine Zidane from glory. Golden Goal, soccer stars and the moments that made them. Premiering this summer on Blue Wire.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Orange and Brown Report. It's your Wednesday, July 8th edition. We are here joined by Fred Greetham, the OBR's beat writer, in Berea every day, getting all the inside scoops. Before we get over to Fred, though, I'm going to do my traditional shout-out of betonline.ag. Use that promo code BLUEWIRE. Go there. Take advantage of the opportunity with that welcome bonus as sports begin to kick up here, we think. Get in there, get online, use that welcome bonus to start jumping up your gambling and make some money. Put some money in your pocket. Again, that's Blue Wire. There's the promo code, and that's betonline.ag. So, Fred, busy day, man. The Browns, look, these guys can't go a couple more than a couple days without some serious news. We'll start with news that happened, I think it was Saturday that this happened. I was with family, and I'm like, God dang it, I got to sit down and write this up. Browns get in, notice that David Njoku, represented by Drew Rosenhaus, wants a trade, demands a trade. Don't know if the Browns were totally blindsided by this. Perhaps they saw it coming. They probably saw it coming when the agent change happened. But they picked up his fifth-year option, and you know, there's reasons Njoku would feel one way, and I think there's reasons the Browns would want to keep him. Where are you on this whole situation with the young tight end who's going into the fourth year of his NFL career?
Well, I wrote a piece about it. I just think it's ridiculous. A guy that has five catches and did nothing last year. Of course, he missed 10 games with a broken wrist. But when he came back, he's expecting to just step right in. And Freddie Kitchens, you know, said, look, you got to earn your way back in. And he never got back on the field. I think he caught one pass after the season opener. And, I understand these guys, you know, they want to be the top guy on the totem pole. They always talk about being team players, but then we mean if they're the star, you know, that's what I feel like, you know. And with Njoku, he's got a lot of talent. You watch him, but he hasn't been able to catch the ball consistently. I think he was like 41st, I read somewhere, in drop passes amongst tight ends, you know, in the year that he had his biggest year in 2018. And he had two last year in the little time he played. And I think Austin Hooper had two the whole season. So I would just like to see him, you know, come in. You haven't even been with the team. It's been all virtual. You haven't even been on the field. And at least size it up, see how, you know, it looks, and compete. You know, right now, even if Hooper moves right into the top of the depth chart, we already know Stefanski runs almost 60% double tight ends or more, and you should be the number two tight end. I mean, if you don't think you can beat out Harrison Bryan as a rookie, then I question your competitive spirit. So, you know, I just feel like, you know, you can see down the road, make your demands. But yeah, when you change agent, it almost, you can see the script. He called Duke Johnson and said, hey, how did you get out of Cleveland? He said, I changed my agent to Drew Rosenhaus, and boom, I got traded. You know, it's a little different because, you know, Bill O'Brien acts as the GM, and you know, and they got a third-round pick for Duke Johnson. I feel like Njoku's you know, bottom of his market right now. He's got the upside, but I can't see them getting anything for him. So they pick up your option, $6.1 million. I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at. With all the weapons the Browns had, I mean, think about it, Jake. Do you think with Beckham, Landry, Hooper, Hunt, Chubb, that Njoku shouldn't be able to beat the fifth or sixth, you know, pass defender? You know, he ought to have some great matchups because he's going to be the guy they're not going to worry about as much. And I would think he would be under the radar and be able to have a big season.
You're right. There's a lot of stuff going on there, especially, you know, you touch, Fred, on the mesh of the wrong time for this sort of demand. I mean, if this was last year where Njoku's coming off a, you know, 70-target season, 400, and I think he actually got into the 600s in terms of yardage and four touchdowns, his value is actually high. He's coming off a year where he barely played, plays two games, gets hurt, pretty much ends his season because he never quite comes back well from the wrist injury, and who knows what happened in-house at the end of the year, but certainly not a stretch of the imagination to think that he hurt his wrist to the point that he couldn't confidently play the position, and it led to some coaching disagreements and all of those things. And then it's like, you know, so what are the Browns going to be able to get for him? Probably next to nothing. They're running an offense that isn't predicated on five wide receivers or four wide receivers or even three wide receivers. They want to play tight ends, and you can't just pick up tight ends with the stature of David Njoku. And you know, you could talk about his issues catching the football and inconsistencies in blocking, all of which are very true points. But, you know, guys that are built like David, guys that have the ability to run like David and go up and get the football occasionally are perfect sort of tight end twos, and that's what the Browns need, is a guy who's played in the NFL for 3 years. You don't want to count on Harrison Bryant right away. You know, you want a guy who has experience in the NFL at a position that takes a long time with the learning curve. And from David's side of things, maybe the targets won't be as high, but go back and watch Irv Smith. That guy got targets that were actually productive targets. Maybe he only got 40 targets, but he had 350 yards, and he had four touchdowns. I mean, the guy got targets that were meaningful, and in this offense, they are going to be schemed up opportunities for him where he's open. And like you said, Fred, they're going to be chasing Odell. They're going to be chasing Jarvis. They're going to be chasing Austin Hooper down the field. More often than not, he's going to find himself in matchup advantages that he can exploit, and Baker can find him because he loves finding tight ends. So it's a really strange thing for me to want out. I get it. He wants to be a tight end one somewhere. He wants to get 70, 80, 90 targets. But at this point in his career, this junction of his value, it doesn't make sense for the Browns to move him. And I hope they stand their ground on this because they have all the leverage here. They have all the leverage. So I hope that works out in the Browns' favor, because it should. And it should still be a relationship that can work because Njoku can help this team. Granted, his attitude is not terrible, which is sort of a to-be-determined situation. But I'm also with you on, hey, man, get into training camp, meet some people, see what the offense is like, and then maybe you start winning some football games and you really like it. So you never know. These guys are quick to jump the gun about me, and worrying about their numbers. And I get it. You need a second contract, but winning produces numbers, right? Like, winning gets numbers, and winning plays are what teams notice when they go to sign you to that next contract. You know, it's something that he has to keep in mind. Talking about contracts, Olivier Vernon was the early news today, Fred. They converted his $15 million non-guaranteed money, which is pretty interesting. They converted it to $11 million guaranteed, converted much of it to a signing bonus to help the Browns save cap space. And it helps Vernon because, you know, he doesn't have to deal with non-guaranteed money and worrying about where that will come from. He gets a little less, but it's guaranteed, right? He has that locked up for him. And what's interesting to me is the saving on the cap. So do you think the signing of Vernon to this restructured contract is one that eliminates them from going out and pursuing another top-shelf defensive end? Or do you think that they are still in the market for somebody like Everson Griffin or Jadeveon Clowney, or maybe even trading for Yannick Ngakoue out of Jacksonville?
Yeah, I think that because he's in the last year of his contract, and it wasn't an extension, you know, when I first heard, you know, I thought maybe they added a year or two to him, but they just, as you said, you know, they just kind of reshuffled the deck. And for Vernon, he gets it guaranteed, knowing that, you know, if they were at this point signed Clowney, they'd probably cut him and they wouldn't have, you know, nothing was guaranteed. And so I think it was a good move all the way around. I think it allows him and allows the Browns to know he's going to be here, but it doesn't preclude them from using some of that freed up money to get some help, whether it be a linebacker or defensive end. I think, you know, if Clowney, if they want to use a little bit more, you know, to sweeten the pot, maybe that's what they do. But, yeah, I think they can still go anywhere with it. I think that all the way around. It was good to give a little bit of a certainty that, you know, he's going to be here now, because you wouldn't have done that if you were, the speculation was, soon as if they did sign one of those guys, he was immediately going to be cut. And he's probably looking at it. He's, you know, at the end of, just before training camp, that could be pretty precarious. So I think it's a win-win for both. And, you know, and he's in the last year of the deal, so he's got some incentive to go out and produce, to see if he can get another contract next year with the Browns or some other team.
I'm with it. I think it's a great deal for both sides. I don't think it eliminates them pursuing some people they're interested in, especially linebacker help, but this does grant them the ability to roll over some cap, which is pretty important for them going into next year, where they will have to actually replace Vernon and his value opposite Myles Garrett, which will be a big hole to fill. Because I don't, unless Vernon has just a fantastic year and they can come to some sort of agreement, I'm not sure that that happens. So I think he'll play well, but granted his age and injury history, I don't think the Browns will push that direction again. But maybe they keep that rollover and use it next year on somebody, or maybe they even still go out and get someone, to be determined. Plenty of time left and a lot of variables still to move around. And then lastly tonight, Fred, the other piece of contract news on a busy day is Jedrick Wills is signed, which is great, right? Just kind of give me your immediate reaction to that, and you know, do you think they get Delpit and Jacob Phillips signed before things kick off here in a couple weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I think now normally they go right up. They've went in inverse order right along. And, you know, I was expecting when I heard a signing that it was Phillips, because he, you know, Elliott just signed and he's the other third round. And then Delpit, kind of ironic, you got the two LSU guys left. But, no, there's a little mystery nowadays. It used to be, you know, when they just kept holding out to get every guy up in front of them, so they got every last penny, but now it's pretty much slotted. So I cannot imagine either of those guys not being in on time. I mean, both of them have a chance to start, and you know, we see time and time, if you monkey around, especially with no off season at all, they got to be here when it opens, if it opens on time. So I see that happening real quick.
I'm with you. Usually comes down to that offset language, and that stuff has even dwindled a little bit over the recent years. So no reason to think those guys won't be there. Browns are trending in a good direction. 2 weeks out, a couple weeks to go out and sign those two remaining picks and get ready for, you know, J.C. Treader again warned that the NFL has to take the recommendations of you know, medical advisors serious. It's going to depend largely, and I've said it, I'll keep saying it, it's going to depend largely on how well the MLB and the NBA handle this thing, and if it goes off without a hitch. But if it gets ugly in those sport fronts, then it could get dicey for the NFL too, unless, you know, they could surprise me and keep their head down and bury it and just keep playing. But how the players react, especially led by Treader, will be very, very interesting to me, because he is not afraid to speak his mind. He's been very vocal about this thing, and you know, the NFL has a good leader in front of them there. So, Fred, thanks for joining me, man. Appreciate you giving me some time tonight.
All right, Jake. That's always a pleasure.
All right, big thanks to Fred. Shout out to everybody at the OBR putting up great work lately. Tons of stuff on Njoku, tons of stuff on Baker Mayfield and how it all ties to Patrick Mahomes' mega deal that was just signed. And, you know, some other things up too of note, intricate details of Jedrick Wills signing. And some other stuff, too. Make sure you're going there and reading, checking out everything at the OBR. We appreciate your support. Please subscribe, like this channel on your favorite avenue for listening to podcasts, whether that's Apple, or whether that's Spotify, or Stitcher, or SoundCloud, or whatever it is these days. We appreciate those subscriptions, those downloads. They mean the world to us. We also appreciate your support at the OBR website, where we are offering the usual great deals on memberships as the season approaches. We're getting excited. Hope you're getting excited. Appreciate you joining us today. We welcome you back tomorrow. Until then, go Browns.